In Lutheran worship, the lectionary skips right over the text that speaks of the beheading of John the Baptist. Having heard the account, you can no doubt see why. The picture of John's head brought into Herod's banquet hall on a platter is not the kind of image that most of us come to chapel to see. This whole story seems out of place in worship. In fact, this story sounds a lot like something from one of those pulp fiction books you see so prominently displayed at the checkout counter in your supermarket, complete with seduction, intrigue, and gore. So what's a story like this doing in Mark's gospel? Immediately before this passage, we hear how Jesus sent the 12 out two by two into the villages of Galilee to preach repentance and to heal the sick. Immediately after this passage, we read that the apostles returned from their mission and reported back to Jesus. And there's all kinds of hustle and bustle that goes along with their proclamation. And right here, right between the sending and the return, we have this flashback to John's death at the hands of King Herod. Perhaps the point is clear. In the context of the disciples' first missionary journey, the point of John's beheading becomes rather pointed. When you go out to preach repentance, you can expect to meet resistance. That's exactly what happened to John the Baptist. John came preaching a baptism of repentance. He confronted and challenged both tax collectors and religious leaders, both the kings and the soldiers. It was his challenge of King Herod that got him into the most trouble, for Herod had divorced his wife and then married his brother's wife, Herodias. While all this was legal under Roman law, it was not allowed under Jewish law. And John pointed it out publicly. He was arrested, thrown into jail, and perhaps he would have been executed right away, but for some reason, Herod was both afraid of and captivated by this bold and unusual prophet. Herodias did not share her husband's interest or his fear. She simply bided her time and waited for an opportunity to silence John permanently, the opportunity coming on the occasion of Herod's birthday. At his birthday bash, attended by all the prominent people of Galilee, Herodias' daughter danced for the guests in such a pleasing way that Herod promised to give her anything, up to half his kingdom. Not knowing what to ask for, she runs to her mother for counsel, and Herodias seizes the moment. She asks her daughter to ask for John's head on a platter. "Let's get rid of him for good," she says. And so it was. In comes John's head on the king's silver. What shall we say of all this? Simply, when God raises up the church, the world rises up against it. And the world always seeks to silence a prophet. How tempting it is at that very point, when the world rises up against us, to give up, to stop. But God's promise is that when the world rises up to be the world, Christ will raise up his church. For God is alive. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Herod and Herodias silenced John the Baptist, but they could not silence the message. For it was God's message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John preached the law in all of its severity. He preached Christ crucified and risen again. And in the midst of the Judean desert, he poured out the very water of life, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. No sooner was John dead and gone than along came Jesus, preaching the same message. Christ came into the world to live a perfect life for all human beings, to be that very Lamb of God. The world's response to Christ's life? Silence him! Crucify him! Those who arranged for Christ to be put to death on a cross thought they could get rid of Christ and silence him just as they had gotten rid of John. But God's truth cannot be silenced. In the very act of nailing him to the cross, they lifted up the Lamb of God whose blood was shed to take away all sins. And Jesus could not be nailed down, but rose victoriously from the dead. And now he continues to call sinners to repentance, bless them with the good news of salvation, the word of absolution, the washing of regeneration, and the very food of immortality. Which brings us back around to that point. When God raises up the church, the world rises up against it. And the world always seeks to silence a prophet. And how tempting it is at that point to give up. The question for us today, why do we face so little persecution? In India, we hear of Hindus persecuting Christians, bombing churches on occasion. The northern area of the Sudan, primarily populated by Muslims, attacks the south, and millions of Christians are executed. But even when cowardly terrorists attack the United States, as they did on September 11th, they choose symbols of our financial, political, and military power. But they did not seek to crash a plane into the National Cathedral. Why? Aren't we a Christian country? While we hear that kind of talk frequently, I believe such talk can lull us into complacency. It can entice us into believing that the church can peacefully coexist with the world. If anything, the last few days and few years, and certainly the last time of Lutheranism's history in America, shows us that if we think we can coexist with the world, then we put God's truth at risk. Rather, God in His grace calls us to faithfulness, to faithful proclamation of Christ as the only way to heaven, whatever the price. God has brought us into His kingdom through baptism to declare the deeds of His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous life. But certainly, being a faithful disciple of Christ is not easy. Walking in the way of the prophets of old is not safe. Many of them paid with their lives for their testimony. But to pilgrimage through this life without God is a lonely and purposeless life. On that path, we must deal with things on our own, and death becomes the final end, without the peace, without the hope, without the joy that comes from living in the presence of Christ. Life without Christ leads to death and to eternity without God. But life in Christ means that we are never alone, either in life or in death. For our God, Emmanuel, is with us. When God raises up the church, then the world rises up against it. And the world always seeks to silence a prophet. And how tempting it is at that point to give up. But remember, when the world rises up against the church, Jesus Christ was raised up for our sins and rose again from death to overcome the world and promises to crown His people with joy and with life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.